however many, I don't even know how many people there are on the prayer ministry, but it comes out to all of us, and we're all praying in unity. And there's power in numbers, because the scripture says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And I'm telling you, when we pray, God listens and God moves. And so if anybody has a prayer request, it goes to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send it in any time of day, and we'll be praying, and we'll be watching mountains move.
Amen. Talk to us, Angel. Thank you. Well done, Megan. Talk to us about Go Yard. You and me, I'm Mama Mac on that show. You're still Dr. Angel on that one, too.
Go Yard, it's our Thursday night here on this station at 6:06 p.m. It's a life coaching show. It's all about our listeners learning to hit those home runs in life, learning how to live life, not just exist. And we get in, it's very practical, it's very tool-based, and it's very helpful for our listeners to just kind of get through those obstacles that kind of get in our way sometimes.
Absolutely. So check that out, Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m., Dr. Angel and me, Mama Mac. And it's a life coaching show that right now we're in a series on boundary setting. We're about to wrap it up, and you can go to podcasts right here on tantalknetwork.com. Go to the podcast tab and open up the show Go Yard, and you'll find the shows you've missed. And then on our website for Go Yard, there's tons of shows by title that will help you with various things like parenting, etc., in your life, and that's goyard2014.org, O-R-G, it's an O-R-G. Our website for the ministry is bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com, and you can check out, we've got hundreds of these shows, this Sunday show, on that. And today is the day, Megan. Is the bell in there, Angel? Is it, you see
yes.
The bell? Well, yeah, wrap it a few times there, will you? Okay, so besides announcing at church today, Megan, about our new digs, our new facility, we also had the introduction of my brand new book, Strength for the Fight. That has come from Zulon Press as publisher, the largest Christian book publisher, and it is now out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's an e-book. We recommend, if you want to, just send us an email to prayers@bohmglobal or pastor@bohmglobal.com. We will send you the book for $11 on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's $12.49 plus tax. We will pay for the postage, and we will send it without tax to you, because you would send a check to the ministry, our publishing division, Beacon of Hope Publishing. $11, Strength for the Fight, my fourth book. I'm the proudest of this one. Megan, you've already got a copy. Angel, either of you want to give any kind of a comment to our listening audience about that? Make sure it's a good comment, Angel.
Oh, no, it's fabulous. You know, I have really enjoyed it, and it's very uplifting, and it's, I love it. It's very fabulous.
She hasn't read it, but she said that. No, I'm teasing.
Oh, you are teasing, because I have, and I've just enjoyed. I've enjoyed it. It's very encouraging. You know, there's prayers through it, and, you know, no matter where you are in life, we're either in a fight or we're getting ready to come up to a fight, and we need that strength. So if we're not in the fight, we need to start building up our strength now, and if we are in it, it'll help hold you up.
Amen. Megan, comment if you want to.
Well, you know what, Pastor? The book is, it's absolutely amazing, because you have been through some trials, my friend.
You have
experience. So this book is not only something to equip you for things that are going to come at you, but it's also something that you're going to read, and then you're going to remember that when something comes up, oh, I need to go back and reference that book in such and such chapter for that prayer that I read, because I need that right now. So
yep.
Not only will it equip you, but it equips you down the road. It's training, because
right.
We all as Christians need training for the rest of our lives. We'll never reach full maturity until we get up to be with the Lord. But this is just one of those training pieces that is just so needed, Pastor.
Well,
it's awesome.
I loved writing it, and actually I started it in 2009 and finished it in 2018. That's something else, because I went years without working on it, and then God told me to pick it back up, and I'm writing another one. But you know what? I love the writing, but my style seems to be a story that pertains, and then God's answer to that with a prayer at the end of each chapter. So a decision should be made. You know, that's what it's about, Megan. You saw that when you started reading it, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, today we are, so, you know, if you're interested in getting a copy, just let us know. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com is my email, and prayers@BOHMGlobal.com, and we'll take care of getting that to you. And, you know, as we talk today about the difference that happens when you say, God, all right, I want all you have for me, we just have to do this song. I mean, my own son sings this song. So amazing. His voice sounds like this guy, really. Soul on Fire, Third Day. This is who God wants us to be.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart.
Chapter 1, verse 16, we're going to talk about some guys who became souls on fire. Passing along the beach of Lake Galilee, I just so identify with Jesus and his love for the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Megan, when you get here, you better be bringing your bathing suit because we're going to the beach.
Oh, please do.
We'll be going to the beach a lot, Megan, so you better be bringing your swimsuit stuff. Passing along the beach of Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. This is Simon Peter. Net fishing. They were fishing with a net. That's called net fishing. Fishing was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you." Now, first of all, before we finish that paragraph, Jesus just sees a couple guys out fishing and he says, come on, come with me. He knew their hearts. He knew what they were. He knew them. In fact, Psalm 139, I'm going to use the scripture in Bobby's memorial service. It says, David says, you knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And David says, that's just amazing to me. You see, Jesus knew the hearts of Peter and Andrew here. And he says, I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass.
You mean he didn't go down to the local seminary and go pick out some, you know, preachers just graduating with their master's degrees or their doctorate in divinity for his crew?
I find this fascinating, don't you, Angel?
Yes.
And what a good insight of yours. Because he didn't go there.
No.
Why not?
Because he was looking for the heart. He was looking for those who would have the heart to love God and to do the ministry that they're called to do, to live out their purpose.
Woo! That's what I'm doing. I'm living out my purpose. I really am. Megan, don't you find this fascinating? That he says to them, I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. He doesn't even mention Mahi Mahi or grouper, which I love. They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. Megan, talk to us.
Pastor, they were obedient.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big word for that passage of scripture right there. They were obedient.
Okay, I have written in the... Go ahead.
No, you go on. Go on. What were you going to say?
I have written in the margin beside that verse, a verse that I love, Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land.
Amen.
Talk to us, Meg. Go ahead.
Well, obedience plays a big factor into being a Christian. And, you know, it's a two-way street. The Father wants to take care of us, but we also have to be obedient. Because there are going to come times when he's going to instruct you or lay something in front of you and instruct you on what move to make, just like he did with them. You know, he said, you're not going to be fishing for food. You're going to be fishing for more people for me. And, you know, when we said that he knew you in your mother's womb before you were even thought about, he did. He created you and has a purpose for you, just like he did them, that he was going to send them out to find more souls to save.
Yes, so true. So true. And I love that they responded so well. It says here they didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. In fact, they in some translations, it says they left their nets. And that can be translated, they yielded up all claim to them. Talk to us, Angel.
Wow.
That's good. That'll preach, too.
That definitely will preach because, you know, that's something that we have a really hard time as humans is yielding up our will, our desires, our whatever ways we think things should happen. You know, we think we know better than God so often. You know, our pride steps in the way of laying humble before him to be used. And they were willing vessels. And, you know, that's all God's looking for is that willing vessel. Will you?
That's exactly what he's looking for. Exactly. And so a dozen yards or so down the beach, he saw the brothers James and John, Zebedee's sons. It's like Jesus got up that morning and heard from the Father in his prayer time, now it's time to get your crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because you always call your people your crew.
My crew.
Right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, some people call them your posse. Some people call them your, what's the other word? Your gang, your peeps.
I'm sure.
But they're your crew, I noticed on your Facebook posts, or your crew. And so a dozen yards or so down the beach, a dozen yards, that's just no distance at all.
Mm-mm.
It's like, there they are. He saw the brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in the boat mending their fishnets. They were mending their fishnets. That'll preach. Right off, he made the same offer. What's the offer? Oh, just why don't you just give up fishing and come catch some people.
You know, what I find interesting with that is they weren't far apart, but we have two different sets of fisher people who are probably in competition with each other to,
Good
you know,
point.
For their shares of the market, like two different businesses, you know, and now they're coming together as one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Megan, talk to us.
Well, that just shows you that we're unified by the body of Christ.
We are.
And you know, we come from all different backgrounds. We can come from the same community. And we may not even know of each other until that God-ordained moment when he calls us out, just like he did with these fishermen.
Yeah, and he does. And he calls us out and he says, okay, what's your decision? You going to work for me or are you just going to give up? You know, last week when all this was going on with the building, there was one point I was walking through my house and I was praising God and I thought, a lot of people my age would be looking about retiring somewhere. But I live in paradise, so where are you going to retire to, correct, right? The other thing is I cannot get away from the calling that God has on my life, which is to preach and teach the Word of God as long as I have breath in my body. That is what I'm called to do, to write, to teach, to preach, to do these radio shows. That's my calling. Just like the calling for James and John and Peter and Andrew was a calling to go get people. It's the same calling for us today, Angel. It's not about, well, is this a convenient time to work for you, Lord? Or, God, I'm kind of young, or I'm kind of old, or I'm kind of sick, or I'm kind of feeble, or I'm kind of weird, or whatever, right?
What will others think, or right. How am I going to feed my family? Or, you know, that wasn't the thought.
They just dropped their nets and
went.
But, I mean, they left their nets. It said they yielded up claim to them. They didn't go, let me see if I can put this net in a garage sale. See what I can get out of it.
Exactly.
Talk to us, Megan.
You know, it's that willingness to bend. It's that willingness to go where he leads you to go. And just like with my own family, a couple of years ago, my husband lost his job. And I said, Lord, where are we going? Where are you taking us?
Right.
Because, you know, I knew through things that he had told me that within a certain period of time, he didn't give me specifics, he never does, that something, there would be change coming.
Right.
And it's when we need to be of the mindset of, instead of, uh-oh, we need to go, oh, yeah, where are we going, Father? I want to follow you.
Woo! All to Jesus I surrender. Not easy to do sometimes, is it, girls?
No.
No, it's not.
It says here that they gave up all claim, and they had immediately, the word there is immediately, they left their father Zebedee, the boat, and the hired hands, and they followed. They had a business.
Yes.
They had hired hands.
Yes.
They had a boat, and they had a dad to take care of.
Absolutely.
You know, so often people do not follow the leading of God because they are afraid of what it might bring, where they might be called to go. Angel?
Yeah, because a lot of times when you follow that leading, you are called out on the limbs of faith, and we don't want to leave our comfort zone. We don't want to leave what we know to what we think is secure, even though it's not what we're supposed to be doing. So a lot of times people have miserable jobs that they don't really aren't called to do, but pays the bills, and they aren't willing to go on that leap of faith of where God's calling them.
Well, I start this book, Strength for the Fight, talking about my parents being called to the mission field and what that did to my mom and my dad's extended families and their parents, and how they, I was only like 10, but I remember the fight that ensued with my grandparents finally saying, all right, to my dad, you and Dottie, that was my mom, you can go to the mission field, but you're not taking the girls. They're staying here with us. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. And my dad just said, there are kids, and where we go, they go. And I thank God that my dad answered the call of God. I wouldn't be sitting here in this engineering room right here in the control room. I do not believe that my life would have gone the direction it did if my dad had not been faithful to answer the call of God on his life. And my mother, too. Both of them together. Megan, talk to us.
Well, Pastor, you grew up watching them be obedient.
I did.
To the Lord.
I did.
You did. And that's one thing that I hope that I can leave with my kids is, you know, she may have been weird, but boy, did she try to follow what the Lord wanted. And, but that's,
amen.
That's the thing about obedience is sometimes it's really, really hard.
Yes.
I mean, honestly,
it is
hard.
It is.
And sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to.
Right.
And I would have never have thought that I would be in a position of delivering groceries and serving people the way that I do.
Yeah, but, and you're good at it, too.
Well, thank you. It's my niche, and yeah. I adore it because I tell the Lord every day, Lord, these are your orders. You take me where I'm supposed to go, and I'll tell you, it can be powerful, and so can everyone else's lives, but we've got to be more obedient. We've got to do it.
Well, we got to be like Peter and Andrew and James and John. Who had thriving businesses, but they left their nets, they left their boat, they left their hired hands and their families, and they said, okay, we'll follow you. And you know, that's what my parents did. And that's the first part of my book. And how that change affected our lives forever, forever, because of my parents' obedience and then praying over me when I was in my mother's womb. And I felt called of God the first time when I was 4 years old. So that tells you what happens, right? When we are obedient. First off, ministry. Jesus doesn't say, all right, we're going to start off with something really easy, like praying for a hangnail. The one of you brought that up, right? And so in verse 21 of Mark chapter 1, they entered Capernaum. And when the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. Talk to me about that, Megan, or Angel. What does that mean there?
Well, you know, he did. Jesus knew what he came here to do. He knew his purpose. He knew, and he didn't let things distract him. He didn't let what popular opinion was lead him a different way. He didn't even let the religion, the religious teachings and the religious way of that time take him or distract him from the purpose he was set to do. He had the authority with him the whole time he walked, in that confidence and that authority, because he knew.
Because he knew. I like the first word of verse 23. Of Mark 1 in the Message Bible, it's the word suddenly. Certainly applies to what we lived through last week, Angel, does it
oh,
not?
Oh, yes.
Megan,
oh, yes.
You were a part of that with us, Megan. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, he was interrupted by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, what business do you have here with us, Jesus? Nazarene, I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us. That's a demon speaking through a man in church. Okay, I saw that as a young girl. And believe me, I can tell you today, Jesus is more than enough, more than powerful to handle any demonic spirit. Now, I mean, wait a minute. Peter and Andrew and James and John had just signed on. And they're not immediately just praying for hangnails. What are they praying for? In verse 25, you got to see, I bet their eyes were as big as saucers. Jesus shut him up, quiet, come out of him. The afflicting spirit threw the man into spasms, protesting loudly, and got out. Guess what, people? I've seen that. I've seen that over and over again, probably hundreds of times in my years of ministry. Everyone there was incredulous, and they were buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? This is a new teaching that does what it says? And in NIV, it says, this is a new teaching and with authority. He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing. News of this traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. Megan, before we do this song, talk to me about what we just read.
Well, Pastor, there's a lot going on now in opposition from hell. From demons, and especially now, because Satan knows that his time is coming short.
Sure.
That
absolutely
his reign is going to be over.
Right.
And, you know, back then it was a new teaching, but now it's not, because, you know, Pastor, you've seen people released from demons, and I have.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
They can dwell inside the church walls.
Right, sure.
And, you know, it's just through spiritual training and reading the Bible and in being in teachings that are teaching the word correctly, that we learn to identify those things that our spirit becomes in tune with it as soon as it's in the room.
Right. And especially when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to sense Amen. What's going on. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Cece Winans. I got this thing about the Winans now. Tell you more about that later. They are amazing. The power of God through that family. That's our prayer. Holy Spirit, fill these airwaves. Fill this place. Fill our hearts. Wow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 35. While it was still night, Mark chapter 1, way before dawn, Jesus got up. He got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him, and they found him, and they said, "Everybody's looking for you." Talk to us, Megan, about that verse.
Sorry, Pastor, I just got distracted by kids. Could you repeat that?
Yes. Yes, verse 35. While it was still night, way before dawn, Jesus got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him, and they found him, and they said, "Everybody's looking for you." Talk to us about Jesus doing that.
He was going to spend time with his father.
And Amen.
That's like Dr. Angel going in her prayer closet about finding a building.
Right.
He was taking and spending one-on-one time and showing his father that, "Here I am, I'm surrendering, Father. What what is it that you have me do? And that's where we need to spend more time.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we need to get, you know, get all of the distractions away and go away and spend time with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because that's where we get renewed.
That's where we get renewed. That's where we get the instructions. Because in verse 38, we see that Jesus said, when they said, everybody's looking for you, he said, let's go to the rest of the villages. He got instruction from the Father as he prayed. I get instruction from the Father as to where we're going to preach or what we're going to do on the show. As I pray, as I spend time in his presence, talk to his angel. There's no substitute for spending time in the presence of God. Even Jesus, the Son of God, did this. He prayed. He spent time with his Father.
Absolutely. There is no substitute for this. And, you know, and we are in a generation and a culture that, you know, time is very precious and that we don't feel like we have any time, but we cannot afford to not take this time with him. It renews our spirit. It strengthens us. It, you know, we get the instruction to guide us. It fills us up and it helps us to continue going forward in with him day by day. It's like eating. If you didn't eat food after
right.
a few days, you're going to get really weak. Well, when we don't have time with him, the world, that we get distracted and we get overwhelmed. And
yes.
We've constantly got negative messages. You can't do that. That's not going to work. Falling at us from all direction. And we need to get in the face of the Almighty.
When we spend this kind of time, we have the strength to fight whatever. Going back to the title of my book, Strength for the Fight. There's no substitute for time with God. You have got to, if you're serious about your relationship with the Lord. Jesus was serious about his relationship with the Father. Talk about that, Megan.
Well, it's a pretty serious relationship because he's our creator. And he's Jesus' Father. And he is of utmost importance. He is number one above all. And he deserves our time and our attention because his time and his attention is constantly here for us. He's never, never not with us. And we don't, I feel as a society, and I'm not speaking for anyone else, but I know I don't spend and give enough time to the Lord. And that's something that I've been trying to work on this year, is that he gets more of me because he gives me all of him. And
amen.
That relationship, it needs to be tighter knit. It needs to be
yes.
more like how Jesus was with his Father and how he is with his Father. That's how we need to be. We need to be that closely knit with him.
And when we do that, we know what to do. It's just like when I'm preparing these shows or when I am getting ready for a sermon, I have a general idea of where I think God's taking me. But the more time I pray in the Spirit, talking to the Father and saying, God, you, it's you. What you want taught today, what you want done, what songs you want done. Guys, I don't even plan the songs anymore. I just bring a stack of CDs and come in here and let God show me as we are going. Okay? We used to have it all planned. I don't do that anymore because I want God to have the freedom, the Holy Spirit, to lead exactly and do what he wants done. Now, in verse 38 of Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, let's go to the rest of the villages. That's the game plan. That's what the Father told him to do. So that I can preach there. That's why I've come. Right there. He knew his purpose. The Father revealed why he was there. He was to go preach. And so he went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out demons. That was part of his ministry. Still part of our ministry today. Verse 40. A leper came to him begging on his knees, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Now, a leper wasn't even supposed to go close to people. A leper was to stay, and I don't know how far, but it was a long distance away from crowds or anybody. And Jesus could tell he was a leper. A leper means his skin had started to fall off and it was white and really bad. And look at Jesus in verse 41 of Mark chapter 1. Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand and said, I really don't have time for this. Angel looked at, Angel just looked up at me, Megan, like I have got the wrong Bible in front of me again.
Yeah, instead of the bell, you need a...
Yes, we do.
Okay, so what's wrong with what I just said, Angel?
Yeah, because that's not how it happened. That's not how that went down, you know? And it's funny because I've been reading a lot of the Old Testament. I've been in a lot of the law. And, the leper, they were unclean. You could not touch them. You could have nothing to do with them. So, in their culture, this was, totally against the culture. And Jesus was willing to go against the norm of the culture to minister to everyone, to minister. He didn't let the culture's leprosy or the, whatever it was, get in the way of what he was called to do.
Exactly. And in the Message Bible, it says deeply moved. In other translations, it says filled with compassion. So, Jesus felt what this leper must have felt. And dear friend, he feels what you feel. Talk to us, Megan, about this. Deeply moved, Jesus put out his hand and he touched him. He touched the leper. He wasn't even supposed to do that. And he said, I want to be clean. Then and there, the leprosy was gone and his skin was smooth and healthy. Talk to us, Meg.
Well, I'm going to relate this back to my life and how that the Lord showed me how relatable we are to him. Is when I lost Grayson, the Lord told me, appeared to me in a vision that him and I can relate because he had to watch his son die.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And when that came into perspective, that really, really changed me.
Right.
It took God from this huge pedestal down to my level. And he is on our level. He wants us to realize that and that's what Jesus did with the leper. He was full of compassion, but he was also full of healing.
Right.
And he wasn't afraid to reach out and show people that, through the power of God, this man can be healed.
Amen.
This man can be healed. And he healed him right there in front of everybody.
Whoa. He did it right there. Yes, he said, I want to. So the question that so many people ask in churches, I've heard it all my life growing up in the ministry. Well, if God wants to, he can. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants
right.
to. That's where he's coming from. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He wants to heal you. And he said, then there the leprosy was gone, his skin smooth and healthy, and Jesus dismissed him with strict orders, say nothing to anyone, take the offering for cleansing that Moses prescribed, present yourself to the priest. This will validate your healing to the people. But as soon as the man was out of earshot, he told everyone he met what had happened, spreading the news all over town. Ha ha, Megan, talk to us about that, then we're going to go to Angel.
Well, that's that miracle that happened. That's that fire that the guy felt that, that I'm healed. Jesus just touched me, and I want to tell the world. That's that good news that what this whole show is about, is that he went out and told everybody the good news that Jesus touched me, and I was healed of my leprosy just by the touch of his hand. And it's that very beginning of the ministry that he was doing when he set forth to do so by God's word, that he was coming to make things happen that we didn't believe could happen, that we didn't believe
Amen.
And still don't believe that God is in the miracle working business.
Yes.
But he is. We just
is he really? Is he
oh,
really?
Pastor, oh yes, girl. it's that thing of, like you said, Jesus wants to heal me if that's what he wants to do.
Right.
Yes, he wants to heal you.
Yes.
That's why God sent Jesus to the earth, was to show you that he wants to heal you.
He said he wanted to. Yes.
Exactly. It's not that, if you do this, you'll get your healing. No. He wants to heal you, no matter whether if that's a physical sickness, a mental sickness, whatever it may be. Your healing is here. You just have to claim it.
And yet there are people like your son Grayson, like my good friend Amy, who passed away about 3 weeks ago from cancer. Things like this happen that we don't understand. But the truth is, we're not supposed to understand it.
That's
we
right.
are supposed to believe God and let him do what he wants to get done. Talk to us, Angel, about this before we do this next song.
Well, and that's, you know, where we get just such a very little view of the big picture. You know, God sees the beginning of time. He sees it from the beginning all the way through. He knows the full and complete purpose of what's happening. And we're given just a little, you know, puzzle piece kind of view, and we're trying to make a whole story make sense in this one little puzzle piece. We don't even really know what the picture is going to look like at the end, because it's not for us to know. It's for us to trust Him.
Yeah. And we can trust better the more word we get in us, mm-hmm. the more we rely on His promises, the more we trust His Holy Spirit within us to do the work in us that we need done. Are there still going to be times where we don't understand why someone is not healed? You address that, Angel?
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, the way we think God should do it isn't going to be the way that God does something. And we are going to feel sad and disappointed and, you know, all kinds, maybe even questioning. But we ultimately, our faith, He's a good, good Father. And He says that everything He'll work out for our good. And we have to have that faith and trust in Him that that's the plan.
So true. Megan, you want to address that same issue?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes healing is not claimed until they get to heaven.
And that's true, really.
And we have to accept that. And I do on a daily basis because, you know, even though when we lose people, we still deal with grief daily. But
yes.
There's that.
Yes.
There's that knowing that, you know, there was a purpose and a reason for it. And, you know, I'm uncovering some of it as I walk my daily life. But it was more in my what happened to me was more of a changing for me. And I know when I get to heaven, I'll understand that even more. But it's just something that we have to come to grips with, that sometimes, even though that we want someone to be healed, that we have to realize that sometimes that healing didn't come until they were in the arms of Jesus.
I agree with that, and I have gone through a lot of grief in the last few weeks with the passing of my friend and my son Mark's wonderful friend. Years ago they dated, and she spoke at Beacon many times. Amy Connor, amazing, amazing person. And through her life and now her death, the Facebook posts are just totally, there were thousands. She affected thousands of people and knew so many people around the globe. She left behind three little children, and you wonder why, you know, and a husband and a family and all of that. And there's so many questions. And dear one out there, you may be one of these that says, I don't understand why God would take somebody away from her family. Or in your case, Megan, that God would take Grayson before he even was a day old. It was, well, he was 33 hours old. And he was gone from you and
yeah.
Ben and your family. And we don't always have those answers. In your case, Megan, and in our thing with Amy, we don't understand these things, but we aren't supposed to. We just know that God calls Himself our healer, Jehovah Rapha. And whether we're healed on this earth or whether we're healed in heaven, we're still healed. Angel, comment, and we're going to do the song.
Well, and that's just the ultimate, knowing who the character of God is, knowing we only learn that by getting in His word and knowing who He is from the beginning of these pages. He
yes.
is the same God, and He
yes.
has the character of love and compassion and trusting in that.
Amen.
And trusting in that.
Woo! That is so very true. Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Terry McCallum. Let God speak to your heart through this song right now.
Trust Jesus, His glory to see, and rain down from heaven fresh living water. Pray your liberty.
Sing it over the body of Christ.
Come home.
praise God. Bring us your liberty. Work in our hearts, mighty God. Woo! Oh, Father God, we love you so much. Come, Holy Spirit, do a fresh new work in each of our hearts. Lord, for our listeners today, wherever they are, whether they're live or later on a podcast, Lord, I just ask that you move in hearts as a result of this show. Lord, that you would just cause people to realize their need for you in a deeper way, a commitment that is more than just saying, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but that, God, I want all you have for me. I want to be that soldier in your army that you want me to be. I want to be on fire, so on fire. Come, Holy Spirit, move on the inside of me. Lord, let this be the cry, not only of us and our radio team and our ministry, but Lord, let it be the cry of our listeners. Let today be a change. Take place in our listeners, that they will draw close to you. Let today be that day that they say, Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit, move. Move in me. Change me. I want to be so full of you that my life is an example to others, that my life is full of your presence, that I spend time with you in your word, that I spend time talking to you, that I get your plan for my day, that, Lord, I just submit to you your lordship in my life. Lord, that is what I desire. Let that be your prayer today. Let today be the day, the first day of a new commitment, a fresh commitment to him. Lord, all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Talk to us, Meg.
Well, you know, Pastor, that's the prayer that I've been praying since January the 1st, is that there's a wind of change within me, because I don't want to, and I want this for other people too, is that we're not afraid to be different.
Exactly.
That we're not afraid to walk around and love others no matter who they are, what
right.
they look like, and that if people, because multiple times when I'm out working, I'll have people that have needs, and I pray for the boldness that instead of saying, well, I'll pray for you, is that I pray for them right there wherever
right then.
We are, whether
yeah.
that's inside
yeah.
of a store or at their own home, but that we and the listeners, that we want this new boldness, this new
yes.
fire. That when we walk into a room, the Holy Spirit comes with us. That it's seen like never before.
Right.
And that we want it more now than ever, especially now with the way that things are within the world and how strong the demonic forces are trying to become, that we're able to see that in the Spirit
yes.
and to pick it down where it stands.
Right. Amen and amen. And that we take a stand, and that there are times God's going to show us to pray for this one or that one, and that we have the boldness, as you said, to do what he tells us to do.
That's right.
Talk to us, Angel.
That's just it. You know, God has a plan and he has a purpose for every one of us that are breathing. And there is no human greater. There's no human less. There is no sin too big for him. He just wants willing vessels and willing
yes.
hearts.
Yes, he does.
And are you willing? Am I willing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does it matter what people think? Does it matter what I think? Does it matter? It just matters what he thinks.
It just matters what he thinks. It's that getting to that point of Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land.
Absolutely.
You know, and realizing that, like James and John and Peter and Andrew, that dropped their nets. And in another translation, it says, and they said they'll follow him, you know? I mean, it's not about just being a casual believer and occasionally praying or occasionally going to church or whatever. It is about dedication and commitment. Speaking of that, Megan, I forgot to ask you if you needed to go to church here in a minute. You need to get out of here?
You know where I'm standing. I'm standing inside the service.
You are? You're there?
On the phone. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
So go ahead, give us your final words, and then you can go on into your service.
No, I'm not embarrassed at all. In fact, I wish people would come up and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No, but it's all for the glory of the Lord, is, you know, that I pray and I wish through this through the radio broadcast today that people have a drawing, that if they feel that pull and they don't know what it is, it's the Lord calling you, the Lord trying to get your attention. And I hope that in some manner or some fashion, even sending an email to pastor, that you reach out and think
yes.
what you're missing.
Yes.
Because if you're not full of joy and you're not full of peace, then you're missing out. And
Amen.
I don't want you to. So, you know, pick up your cross and reach out to someone in some way and claim your salvation and find that filling of the Holy Spirit, because there is so much peace, so much peace.
Amen. Oh, Megan, you're amazing. I can't wait to see you Thursday night. I will pick you
we
up at the airport. I just want you to know I will. And
I'll see you better.
Huh? And
I'm
that,
not walking.
Okay. All right. so glad you and your mama Betty are coming. It's going to be an amazing weekend with Bobby's Memorial Saturday night and a big service on Sunday and a radio show on Sunday. It's just going to be a lot of crazy time, a lot of good times.
That's okay. That's the way we like it.
That's the way we roll, baby. That's the way we roll.
That's right. You got it, girl.
All right.
And our Michigan crew is coming down.
Our Michigan
that's right.
crew. That's right,
and
Angel.
Let me tell you, I am white as snow, so just be prepared.
All right. Well, we're going to take care of that. We're going to get you out in this
All
beautiful
right.
sunshine. See you Thursday. God bless you, Megan.
Right,
go ahead.
So.
Go to church. God bless you. Praise God. Angel, finish it up with me. What are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I think the first thing for us is to recognize who we are and who we are not. And I think so often we give ourselves too much self-esteem, too much credit, too much. And we know it's like in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, I am an unclean person. You know,
right,
I am standing against Almighty. I have sin. I have
oh,
this.
Yeah.
I cannot lift myself above, because we walk in this pride. Our culture is so
yes.
prideful
yes.
that we can't get humble and take from God or, you know, submit to him, because we are putting ourselves above him. And just to recognize who I am.
Yes.
Because then I have no business judging anybody. I have no business gossiping about people. I have no business telling people how to clean up their life, because God has to do work in me.
Right.
And when we can get there.
Yeah.
And be willing.
We got to get there.
We need
to
get there.
But it's hard for people to admit that they need a savior.
Absolutely. But that, you know, pride. You
it's
know,
pride.
That's that pride.
And it's so often thinking, I'm doing okay on my own. But you know what? You're not. Because if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, you are missing the biggest blessing of your entire life. And I can say that with all my heart. I was 29 years old when I walked the aisle of Four Square Gospel Church in Newcastle, Indiana, in my high heels and running down that aisle, packed out church, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, crying my eyes out. I knew I needed a fullness. I knew I mm-hmm. needed all that God had for me. Changed my life entirely. You had a similar experience. I don't know if you had high heels on, but.
No.
No.
Was not in high heels, because it was in the middle of the night.
Okay.
In my war room.
Wow. Praying, and then God filled you.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, but it has. My life hasn't been the same. I'm not the same, you know, and, you know, we both have had all kinds of difficulties, but at the end, when I know who sits on the throne, when I know he holds my tomorrow, it's going to be okay.
It is. It is.
It absolutely
is.
It is.
So, wow, we got so much going on. We just want you all to get to know the ministry of Beacon of Hope. Go to our website, www.BOHM, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMglobal.com. Check it out. Also, May 19th will be our first service in our big new digs, which we'll tell you more about that as we go along. If you want a copy of my new book, Strength for the Fight, send me an email, pastor@BOHMglobal.com, or you can write it to prayers@BOHMglobal.com. I'll see both of them, and we'll get that sent out to you. $11. Make a check out to Beacon Publishing. And there's just so much that God is doing. We're going to be going back to a Wednesday night format also, in addition to our Sunday morning service. So we got Bible studies going to happen. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to offer in our new facility. We'll tell you more about that as we go. Angel, you got about a minute. Talk to us.
Well, you know, I just hope that the people, that where this message goes through, that they just hear that we need God, that we are no better than others, that we just need to love and accept people for who they are, and that we are loved and accepted by God no matter who we are and what we've done.
That's exactly
that
right.
We are willing to just submit.
Amen. Amen. You're great. Thank you, Dr. Angel Falzone. Catch her with me, my other name, Mama Mac, on Thursday nights at 6:06 for a life coaching show this week on boundary setting in our lives. You're a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor, so there's a lot of truth that comes out on our Thursday night show. So you can actually call in on that one. Okay, so that's Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on this radio station. Thanks to Megan Kramer, who we will hear from again next Sunday, as she will be here in the studio with her mother live. How cool is that? Send any prayer requests to prayers at bohmglobal.com. And do that, and we will be sure the radio team sends out a prayer for you, for your situation, and makes contact with you. That's what it's all about. Wow, so much God is doing. It's been a great show. I stand in awe of Him and all He's done. This has been Angel Falzone, Megan Kramer, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, bringing you God's good news today. We'll see you soon. Next week, same time, 3 o'clock.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Deadly airplane crash? New budget demands. I'm Ann Cates. The National Transportation Safety Board is sending a team, and other international investigators will assist with the probe into the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines jet shortly after takeoff, killing all 157 on board, including 8 Americans. Correspondent David McKenzie reports the flight was headed for Kenya.
This is a very popular route that is often frequented by international business travelers, United Nations workers between the two East African capitals. Now they will have to try and figure out just how this went down in clear, beautiful weather in the early morning commuter flight in East Africa, but no survivors reported by state media.
President Trump will ask for $8.6 billion in new border